Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie. Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, Irish owned and Irish made for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Good morning, you're very welcome to the programme. Today, the row over the Dublin traffic plan deepens as the Greens and Fine Gael lock horns over cars in the city centre. Macron's gamble hits the skids in spectacular fashion as France faces an uncertain and volatile future. Legendary swimmer Michael Phelps joins a chorus of athletes and experts who say the World Anti-Doping Agency is not fit for purpose. And we're going to start a new series today where cooks, chefs and bakers tell us which cookery book they always return to. Text us on 51551 and you can email the programme todaycb@rte.ie. Now, Aer Lingus Management and the Irish Airline Pilots Association, IALPA, will attend the Labour Court today in a bid to resolve their ongoing pay dispute. And following that 8-hour strike on Saturday, which led to the cancellation of 120 flights, pilots have warned that an escalation is on the table. Well, I'm joined in the studio now by James Lawless, who's Minister of State at the Department of Transport with special responsibility for international and road transport and logistics. You're very welcome. Thank you very much for being with us. Interesting comments from the Taoiseach at the weekend when he said that the bad blood in this dispute worries him. Now, we know the government's position has been to hold back to a certain extent from this dispute. That's quite the statement, though. Do you share his concern about that?
Good morning, Claire, and thanks for having me on the programme. I think that it's a worry for all of us, not just in government, but the travelling public, anyone in business, anybody that hopes to have some kind of a holiday abroad this year.
But specifically the bad blood, do you see that, as the Taoiseach says he does?
It would appear that, I mean, it's evident from the fact that the parties walked out of the talks last week. There seemed to have broken down, and it appears that the relationships were not strong between the parties. I think that's fairly self-evident. I suppose we're used to a relative industrial peace in recent times. We don't see as many strike actions, thankfully, but so it is something out of the norm. And there are actually, I know you mentioned 120 flights at the start of the piece. There's 400 flights in total. If we take from a start up to next Sunday, when it's projected to, there's 400 flights have been cancelled. The parties are back before the Labour Court this afternoon at 2:30. I really welcome that, because there was a concern last Thursday at the end of last week when talks broke down, and as the Taoiseach reflected in those comments, that these talks were beginning to go the wrong way. I think there's a real opportunity here now. There's been a weekend for both sides to, I suppose, take stock, reflect, consider their positions. They're going back in now at 2:30. The Labour Court is extremely experienced. It's there since 1946. It's there for this very purpose, to resolve what seems to be intractable disputes. And they've a lot of expertise and experience in doing that. And I just encourage all parties, look, leave the baggage behind, leave everything, you know, on the table, and actually just hammer it out. And as long as it takes, go into the talks, stay in the talks, and come out with an outcome.
But that position from you and from government has been criticised. I was listening to Louise O'Reilly. She was on Late Debate during the week, saying that the government needs to stop being commentators, stop being bystanders. And she was talking about her own experience of industrial relations. That's the background she comes from. She said you'd have ministers making calls to the main players to try to get problems sorted. Is that happening?
Well, I suppose you can't have it both ways. Stop being commentators, stop being bystanders would suggest that we should actually get our sleeves rolled up and get stuck in. And, you know, it's not helpful. Certainly at this stage of industrial relations dispute, for ministers or the Taoiseach or anybody else to start making calls directly to the parties, that will be usurping the mandate of the Labour Court, which is the seized of the matter at the moment. From a legal perspective, neither myself nor Minister Ryan have any vires actually to get involved. But look, there is a huge concern here, obviously. I mean, there's a lot of sectors affected, not least anybody, as I said, that wants to actually have a holiday this year. The secondary economic impact of people that, you know, trade in the hospitality services sector, anybody that needs to travel for business reasons, they're all negatively impacted. And you would have to ask,
but
would anybody, in reality,
saying, though, there's nothing we can do here as a government? Nothing.
Well, As of now, as of Monday, the top parties are re-entering talks at 2:30 p.m. this afternoon. I think it would be unhelpful for me or anybody else to start, you know, ringing behind the scenes, making calls, making contacts. Not only would it be questionable legally and technically, but I think it would be extremely unhelpful to the process. So let's see where this goes. You know, if we're still in the same space in a week's time, you know, or if the talks don't go the way we wish, you know, perhaps the position may have to be revised.
To but what? What would change? What could you do? Because at the moment you have as much power in this dispute as I do, and people who are listening to this programme, it would seem.
Yeah, so look, you can take a position on it, you can take a view on it, and you can consider the ongoing damage that's been done to the economy, to confidence in aviation, to the prospect of anybody actually booking a flight this summer, because a lot of people might be thinking, well, I get the ferry here, I will actually go camping down the country instead. I think that's
What are you saying you could do in a week's time if we're no further forward?
Well, I think what we can do is we can continue to, I suppose, encourage the parties to engage, to go into the Labour Court. I don't want to be prescriptive of what action we can take because I don't want to give false hope either. But I do think that this is something which we need to get on top of very quickly, and the Labour Court is there for that purpose. You know, there's no, if it's, it is broken in the sense that the strikes are ongoing and the work to rule, and that's causing massive impact. But
you seem to be suggesting that if the Labour Court can't do anything after we have this session, or if you know, a number of days pass, that something else can happen. What I'm trying to get at is, what is the something else?
Well, I'm not going to be prescriptive today on that, but if I was talking to you on the 1st of September, today is the 1st of July, if I was talking to the 1st of September and this wasn't resolved, we would have a serious problem, and we would have to say, look back and say what had been missed. Right now, it's at the early stages. Talks started last week. They broke down. They started, I think, on Wednesday, broke down on Thursday. We're now Monday. They're going back in after a heavy weekend, and I wish them every success in that. It's critical for everybody involved, both the pilots and the airline. The other thing I'd point out as well is that we need to maintain competition in the sector. We need to have airlines that are attractive, that are attractive prospects, both from, I suppose, in terms of conditions and employment point of view, but also in terms of viability. And there is a confidence knock-on. There's a huge confidence knock-on. If somebody's going to put a booking in, they're going to look at an airline that's suffering strike action and look at one that isn't. And chances are that they're going to, you know, vote with their feet. And it may appear on paper that there are very successful balance sheets and very successful commercial activities. The aviation industry is notoriously cyclical. There are bubbles and bursts. It happens all the time for various international reasons, be it 9/11.
So now you're telling Aer Lingus that they're putting themselves at risk by not sorting this out. I mean, this is an airline
whose all parties are jeopardising.
Well, their operating profits increased by 400%, more than 400% in 2023.
But that's the point. That could evaporate with the strike.
So it's the airline that needs to dig deep.
You have to ask who is causing the strike, and I'm not going to be judgmental today, but I think it takes two sides to tango.
And we have the pilots seeking 24%. We were told that they had dropped that by a small amount. But given that the talks failed last week, they say they're back now at that demand for close to 24%.
Yeah, and look, pilots, the skills of a pilot, and I read some interviews over the weekend, some of them have served the airline for 30 to 40 years. They're there a long time. They've served their dues. It is a highly mobile industry as well. People do tend to, you know, move from one jurisdiction to another. The very definition of a pilot's occupation is on the move. So some, you know, traditionally do seek employment further afield. Terms and conditions may vary from country to country, but I suppose the norm in other sectors would be more in the lines of 10 to 12% in terms of pay awards. Like the baggage handlers say, the cabin crew, there was a 12.25% increase to those recently. In other more general economy in the region, 10% over 2 years was the kind of award. So you would have to say it would appear 24% is a big ask. The 12% that the airline have offered is in line with other recent awards. Having said that, I am aware of other comparators, pilots in other countries have received greater awards than 12% elsewhere in recent times. So, you know, it's a big ask, and it is certainly on paper out of line with other sectors of the economy and even of the aviation sector. However, there is some precedent abroad. So, look, I don't want to prejudge.
So it's
the
somewhere
talks
between 12 and 24, you think,
well,
would solve it,
court,
would solve it fairly.
To decide, and engagement today. The other thing I'd say is there has been a process. I think this is the third independent attempt to adjudicate this dispute. There is a pilots pay tribunal. There is a process within the aviation sector with the senior counsel at the helm, separate to the Labour Court, which has already processed this dispute and produced recommendations. So we have to trust in the mechanisms. And we cannot have sort of wild card action to say, well, we have one, two, three independent mechanisms which have been followed, which have been observed. There has to come a point where you say, well, we're going to trust the experts, we're going to follow the independent advice, we're going to follow the independent steer.
But then you're asking the pilots to accept the offer that has been made to them already.
I'm asking everybody to go back in this afternoon and put their shoulders to the wheel and come up with a solution.
What's your understanding of the worst case scenario that could unfold here? I mean, you mentioned if we were sitting here in September, we'd be in a very serious situation if this hadn't been resolved.
Well, I think there's no winners here at all if this goes on and becomes protracted. I think the company obviously suffers a loss of confidence and a loss of bookings, loss of revenue. The pilots suffer because that's going to have a knock-on for them ultimately if their employer is in difficulty. But most importantly, the travelling public and the wider economy suffers. And actually, the aviation sector suffers because of a loss of competition in the local industry.
We had Kevin Byrne, an aviation expert, and he's a regular on this programme. He was on here last week and he was just plotting out the worst case scenario as he sees it. So a picket by Aer Lingus pilots in front of Dublin Airport, if you can imagine this, one that other pilots, other airport staff, crew would refuse to cross. Are you preparing for that situation? Is it something that has crossed your desk?
No. And I mean, I suppose that's quite an apocalyptic scenario. And it's probably not helpful to go to worst case situations. There are already alternatives. I mean, there are already.
But you could argue that we're close to this. I mean, they have said, IALPA have said, we haven't, the strike isn't complete and they haven't shot the shot, to quote Mark Tye. So look, we could be headed for that.
Yeah, and I also see the airline coming out the weekend saying they've actually gone too far and then they've blown it. So look, it depends. If I was in the room with either side advising them, of course you'd be putting out your own best case scenario, putting out the argument that's most helpful to your side. Both sides have an obligation to the travelling public, to themselves, actually, to make this work. They're going to have to work together for many more years. We hope, if this actually resolves itself, that the airline continues to be successful and that they continue to be gainfully employed by it under satisfactory conditions. So, look, it's not helpful to speculate about the absolute worst case, but look, life does go on.
But the government surely has to prepare for that. If it is on the cards, which it surely is, given where we are.
Yeah, well, look, I think you always you plan for the worst and hope for the best. But it would be unhelpful for me as a minister to start putting doomsday scenarios out on the airwaves this morning. And, you know, again, I'm going to reiterate the key message here for all involved, which I eagerly await, are those discussions, which I'm really gratified. On Friday, there was a concern that the discussions had completely broken down. On Monday morning, we're looking at the parties going back into the talks this afternoon. That's a much better place to be than we were 2 days ago.
But you did also say earlier, if we're in this situation in a week's time, that the government might revise its position.
Yeah, sometimes you have to get creative. In any problem in life, the more difficult the problem is, the more creative you have to be. At this stage, we're in the early stages. The Labour Court has seized of it. They are doing what they are there to do. I have full confidence in them. And let's not preempt what comes out of that.
We've had 400 flights cancelled. I mean, that is not the early stages of anything. So many people have been impacted by this. And what I'm trying to get clarity around is, what will and can the government do in a week's time if we're still here?
Yeah. So let's see what happens today first. I'm not going to tell you what we're going to do in a week's time, because a week's time is a long way away. A week is a long time in politics. A week is an awful long time in an industrial relations dispute. In terms of where the strike is at, I would expect the union to be putting out, you know, what other escalations they could raise to. I would also expect the company to be downplaying that. It's natural that sides would take tough positions going into a bargaining situation. That's normal. That's to be expected. I think we just need to focus on the parties re-engaging. I really welcome that. I think tensions did rise last week. I'm really gratified that as of Monday morning that they're going back into those
talks. So the government is staying out of it as of now.
As is right and appropriate. Well, keeping a very watchful eye. I'm monitoring the situation very carefully and very concerned about the impacts economically, socially and on people's plans for this summer and the downstream negative impact that will have ultimately perhaps in the confidence in the sector and the airline. But keeping a watching brief.
Okay. Is it only now that the state realises that it was a mistake to sell off the national carrier when it happened? Because fears were raised at the time that as an island nation, we were really vulnerable to this type of action. And now we see it playing out in real time.
Well, I don't think it's... I think if the airline... State-owned companies are not immune to strike action. It's not a precursor.
But you'd have much more say in this if you had a share of earnings.
Well, you may have a conflict of interest then if the state was the owner and the state was also attempting to be an honest broker in talks. You know, that wouldn't necessarily be helpful either. Look, I think that's water under the bridge. I'm in the ministry 2 days. That happened about 2 decades ago. That was probably not helpful for me to comment on mighty beans, should have beens, could have beens, other than to say is Aer Lingus has traded very successfully, has continued to be a national flag carrier, has really performed with distinction over the decades since it was privatised some 20-25 years ago, and is a, you know, I hope that success continues, and I hope the pilots are part of that success as they have been to date. It's their professionalism, their flexibility and their diligence that has helped the airline succeed, and they all need to continue that now.
Okay, so while people wait and see whether they're going to get out for their holidays, whether they can get back on their holidays, the government is sitting back and waiting to see how this plays out.
The parties are before the Labour Court today. That's the appropriate place for them. It would be highly inappropriate for me to make suggestions as to what they could or should do today.
OK, now moving on to this plan to stop cars going through Dublin City. Eamon Ryan wants this done immediately, due to happen in August. But your coalition colleague, Emer Higgins, a Fine Gael TD, a junior minister for business and retail, she wants it to be delayed for at least a year. Where do you stand on this?
Look, I think we have to believe in local government. I respect the mandate that Minister Higgins has as a spokesperson or a representative of the retail sectors and I suppose the small business sector. However, I think we have to, we've just had a local election. We've a brand new city council in position. They've been working on this for some years. If there was to be, I don't personally believe that there should be a change in direction, but if there was to be, it's ultimately for that county council, that city council to decide.
You're saying she should stay out of it.
Well, no, she's made a submission. She's entitled to do that. Absolutely. I may make a submission myself in this brief, you know, to other agencies. There was a time for submissions and it has elapsed, but, you know, certainly people can make, certain particularly people in ministerial offices can make submissions.
This is more than a submission, though. This is Emer Higgins going in to meet Dublin City Council today.
Yeah.
To ask them.
Yeah, look, like I think
it's quite a move for a minister to make.
Yeah, well, I say I understand where she's coming from, but my own view would be that there was a time for a consultation that occurred. I think 80% of the submissions received by Dublin City Council were in favour of the plan. I myself, and I hold the brief now in transport, I've been a commuter on public transport for over 20 years. It's actually how I got into politics, by getting the train in from Kildare every day. I still do. Very, very regularly get the train into my first day in the department last Friday. We need to improve connectivity and flows through the city centre, and often the car gets in the way of that. But one of the benefits of a remodeled city centre traffic plan is not only more efficient public transport, but for those car users who do need to bring a car into the city or a van for deliveries or work purposes, there'll actually be a great opportunity for them to do that.
So you're saying it should go ahead in August as planned, despite what Emer Higgins thinks and wants.
I'm a believer in empowered local government. The local government has gone through the processes here. It has had a consultation, which actually was highly supportive of their plans. It has a board of directors, being the councillors that are elected to it and re-elected with a fresh mandate only 2 or 3 weeks ago. And I think really we should trust them to get it right. Otherwise, I think we need to power local government and we need to trust local government to get it right.
Michael Pidgeon, Green Party councillor, said it was bizarre to have this intervention from a government minister at this stage. He also said she's doing the work of vested interests like car park owners.
Well, look, I don't know if that's fair or true. And look, I'm sure Minister Higgins is...
But you don't agree with
her
intervention. It's clear from what you've said.
I wouldn't share her view, but she's entitled to have a view. She holds a brief which is mandated from business interests. I suppose she has responsibility to articulate those interests.
But she's not elected by business owners. She's elected
by
the people.
No, but she's appointed by the Taoiseach as a Minister of State.
But if it's the right thing for this plan to go ahead, surely the government should be supporting that, as you are, and not trying to intervene to stop it.
Yeah, so I have a different brief to Emer. I'm a minister in the Department of Transport, so I have a different viewpoint, but I would have a different personal perspective anyway because of my own background and my own policy views. But look, I think there's always going to be creative tensions. I think part of good governance is challenging, is asking questions, is probing, is putting in submissions, putting in consultation, engaging. If we all nodded along and were yes men and women, I think it would be actually detrimental to good governance. So it is only right and proper that people ask these questions, raise these points, and we can agree or disagree, and actually respectful disagreement is a yardstick of good governance and democracy.
Okay, we'll leave it there. James Lawless, thank you for coming in, Minister of State at the Department of Transport. And we're going to be discussing that controversy around the Dublin Transport Plan. That's next.
Text 51551 today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.